Dave and I joke that we've mastered fighting in our marriage.
Yes, we have.
But what we've really learned is that stressful situations trigger different reactive coping styles in each of us, which can really harm relationships.
Oh, yeah.
Ron and Nan Deal have created an assessment to help you discover your style. So take it at familylife.com/mindfulmarriage and get chapter one of their book. Go to familylife.com/mindfulmarriage to start building better relationships mindfully. Hey, we just wanted to give you a heads up before you listen to this next program, because today's conversation on family life covers some pretty sensitive but really important subjects that may not be suitable for younger ears. So just use some discretion when listening to this next broadcast.
And let me add this. And if you do listen with your kids, talk about it after with them.
Right. This is an important conversation to have with maybe older kids, just depending on what you're thinking. But we just wanted to give you a heads up. Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Ann Wilson.
And I'm Dave Wilson, and you can find us at familylifetoday.com. This is Family Life Today.
Well, we're recording today in a different place.
We're in Dallas, Texas. You know, I say that really loud because everything's bigger in Texas. Am I right?
It's true.
You're right. Today's going to be fun.
Yeah.
Because what we're talking about today is something every single parent with kids under their roof need and want this conversation.
Yeah. Mary Flo and Megan are with us. And, you know, I don't know if you like this title. You're the Birds and the Bees girls.
Yes, that's right.
We are.
Did you come up with that name?
You seem proud of it, too.
Yeah. We did come up with that. Well, obviously, the words have been around for a long time in association with the topic. But it was such a delight to us when we were forming our partnership that name, that domain name, had never been taken. Mm-hmm. So we are the Birds and the Bees.
Okay, tell us about this partnership. How did this happen? What do you do?
So, Mary Flo, well, you can kind of tell the backstory because this is not new for you.
No, this started in 1986, an assignment that I had to teach parents how to talk to their kids about sex. I got that through the Dallas Junior League, and it was just a training workshop for the members of the league, and I didn't want to take it because my parents had never spoken to me about sex. I didn't know what this looked like.
Like never?
Never.
Never.
Never, not a word. Lovely parents, very responsible and loving and happy childhood, but nothing about sex. At that time, I had a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old, and the 4-year-old was asking, how did that baby get out of there? And I thought, I know, but can I tell you?
I'm glad you know.
Yes, I did know. And but simultaneously, I was a trainer with the league, and they wanted someone to do a training workshop about that. I said, no, that won't be me. And they said, well, you know what? We'll send you to Washington, D.C., and they'll train you. And I said, does that mean room service? Because I have a 4-year-old and a 1-year-old. I'll go. So I went, and I got a great big notebook all about sexually transmitted diseases and a lot of workshops on safe sex. Hmm. And I came home, and I told the league, I can't do this. This is not where my heart is, but if you'll give me 6 months, I want to do some research because now I'm very interested in what I'm going to say to my own children. Mm. So if you'll give me some time, I'll give you a program, but I'm throwing this away. This is not what I want to do. So I thought I was preparing for one talk in that one moment, and here we are.
Look what God did.
Look what God did. He always has a bigger story. So actually, Megan and I have known each other her whole life.
Really?
Her mother is one of my dearest friends, and my daughter and Megan grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
So we've known each other, but she was a teacher.
So I didn't know what Mrs. Ridley did. I thought she was just like a lovely mother who made delicious cakes and was just minding her own business. But I, after college, came back to Dallas. I was teaching middle school. I didn't have children of my own, and I was kind of overwhelmed by how sexualized their culture was becoming and the conversations they were having and the lack of response from parents and teachers. And anyways, lo and behold, one day I'm passing out flyers and it says, parents, come learn how to talk to your kids about sex with Mary Flo Ridley. I thought, Jill's mom? I did not know she was a sex... What? So, and then combined with what I was concerned with my own students, I thought, well, I've got to go to this. And so I go that night, and I was just overwhelmed. I was like, I just thought every single parent has got to hear this. I mean, that was looking back now, seeing how the Lord's taken this, that was the beginning of him kind of putting this message on my heart and this resounding feeling of everyone's got to hear this. Anyways, flash forward years later, I do have children of my own. And I hear her speak again at church. I'm taking all these notes. And then another year goes by. I have two kids at this point, and we run into each other. And or maybe her daughter. And her daughter says, you know, my mom's kind of wanting to step back a little bit or have someone help take it over and bring it to the new generation. But I don't really want to do this. And neither does my sister, because it's a weird gig. And I just felt like, I think I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And I said that. And she was like, really? Well, I'll tell my mom. And I'm like, yeah, tell her. I think I was actually pregnant with my second at the time. So it was, nothing made sense. But we got together, and I'll never forget it, because we sat in our kitchen, and I said, I think I want to work with you. And she was like, I've been praying for someone for 10 years to take over.
Megan, what was it when you first heard it that you thought, everyone needs to hear this? What's this? Mm-hmm. What was it in you that clicked?
I think it is such an overwhelming topic for parents, and there is such a fear in this topic. Why are we so afraid of this? Mm-hmm. Why aren't we talking about this?
Yeah.
Why are we letting the world dominate this topic when, particularly as believers, we have so much to say? Why are we letting them win? And so I think it was really inspiring to me of, there is such a better way to do this. And it made so much sense. There was such a simplicity to the curriculum that was taught, too, of this idea of empowering parents was very exciting to me. And then, of course, being a young mom myself, having these little kids, thinking, well, I want to do this for my kids, but I also want everyone else to do this, too.
Yeah, and I would guess most Christian parents would agree with you that I want to be in the conversation, I want to have it, but I also think you're right. We're afraid.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right.
So I know you've thought about this a lot. Mm-hmm. Why are Christian parents afraid? And not even just Christian parents. Mm-hmm. All parents seem to be a little bit afraid of this topic. And so we sort of say, okay, the world's going to teach you. That's okay. Mm-hmm. But we want to be the voices. So why? Where's the fear? What is it?
Well, I think the fear is on many levels. First of all, maybe they were never spoken to, so they don't even know what this looks like or sounds like. I think another fear is they think their past will come up. And so we do tell parents, you know, this is no longer about you and your past, but your children and their future. Parents just need to realize, okay, this is no longer about me. Mm. It's like, where are my children and where do I want them to be? How do I want them to understand what sex is? What's the main thing I want them to know about sex if they're growing up in our family?
Somebody's watching going, well, should I tell my past? When our youngest was in our home and the other two were in college. Mm-hmm. It was pretty interesting because now we're just sitting at the dinner table with one.
And with three sons, they didn't ask us very many questions about our past.
But I remember Cody looking at us as soon as they were out of the house. He literally looked at us one night and goes, hey, so did you guys have sex before married? And we're like, oh boy.
So glad you asked me that.
Should we be honest? Uh-huh. Should we not be honest? Should we? And it was a real, you know, hesitation. We were honest, but it was not, we didn't know exactly, should we? So we got the experts, the B and the B girls.
B and B girls.
Is that new?
That's my tag.
We have a new name.
Yeah, I like it.
Actually, you should think about it. How am I going to react? Right. I anticipate. You're not going to get that question from really young children.
Right, right.
So go ahead and lay a lot of layers down of information for them. Become the expert. Teach them a lot of things. And it's all out there, starting with very simple steps and lots of small conversations. But anticipate the day when that happens. And what we tell parents is you don't really have to tell them the details of your life.
Right.
But if you have learned something from that,
oh, that's good advice.
Mm-hmm. Share your heart.
And that's what we did.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to go into the details of my life, but what I know from my experience is this. Mm. Consider what that conversation might look like. And that's the valuable part of what you can share with them.
Mm-hmm. That's really good. I think we shared our regrets.
Mm. Yeah.
And the repercussions and the consequences of our decisions.
I think that's beautiful.
You do?
Yes.
Okay, we got an A.
Because I think that can make a powerful impact.
Me too.
You know, but I think so many variables, you know, the age of your child, their personality, the way they take in information, that's something only parents would really know if it's the right time to share or not. Mm. But it sounds like that was the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm. So how does a parent get over that fear?
Start small.
When they're like 1 year old? That you mean small?
Yeah.
What do you mean small?
By the nine, they know a body part.
Right. Yeah. So we would say birds and bees, our target audience is parents of kids ages 1 through 10. So we really encourage parents to get rid of this idea of the talk. which is that, you know, that one time conversation.
It's not a talk.
Right. It is multiple age appropriate conversations that can start when your kids are very little with using anatomically correct words. These are not bad words. Who made those parts?
Right.
God made those parts.
No different than a hand and a shoulder.
Afraid,
and don't be
and
afraid.
Even if it feels awkward and uncomfortable.
Do you think
use
kids,
the right terms.
Kids feel our awkwardness or like
absolutely. They will sense that. And so that's why part of the reason of starting young is for the children to understand this is something we talk about in our home. And then as a parent, you are realizing I'm becoming more comfortable with this topic as they're aging. So by the time they're 8, 9, or 10, we've been talking about this for years. And there's so much more than just talking about sex and the actual act of conception, right? We cover all things for body parts, body boundaries, birth, babies, periods, puberty. I mean, there's so many little conversations that you can be having. But ultimately, for your children's protection, it's very important to use these words to prevent abuse from happening. There is so much gray area in this topic. And something we say a lot is the devil loves the darkness. And I think he really likes to keep us in this quiet dark.
Yeah.
And we are essentially encouraging parents to just turn the lights on and say, this is something we talk about.
Mary Flo, have you seen a difference in our culture? You started it in 1986. What's different today than it was back in 1986?
I would say the biggest change that I've seen is the gender confusion.
Yeah.
And homosexuality was spoken of and a lot of other things, but the gender confusion is a new angle on that in the world of raising your children.
And are you two addressing that in Birds and Bees?
We don't have it in our curriculum, but we have it in our live programs in the Q&A is where it usually turns up. But basically the concepts that we're giving parents are an anchor. And that's what I feel like is what children need. They need to be anchored in their gender, and that can be added so easily. Talking about how by God's design, you were made to be a girl who will grow up to be a woman. There are simple things you can say to anchor them in their identity in Christ, in their identity as a woman or as a man.
And so as they get older, that's already an anchor that they're not wondering, am I? What am I? Is that what you're saying?
That's to give them some weight to that.
Yeah.
To affirm them in that and to
now,
give
have
them
dealt
that
with
anchor.
Parents that have like a middle school girl, boy, or high school, and they've tried to do the anchor, and yet now they're at a stage where their daughter or son feels like they're transitioning
pulling on
or
the
should.
Anchor. Mm-hmm.
Have you dealt with that? And what do you say?
Not really with our group. I mean, we target those parents of preschool, elementary school kids.
Yeah.
And so in that audience, it really has not come up that often. That also has a lot of fear behind it and from parents. And so I think we would encourage parents whenever it does come up with the really younger kids, because that's typically who we deal with, is for parents to remain that calm anchor is a great word, you know, but I think so often parents out of fear will hear something from their child and they'll react with it.
Yes.
And so then we're both going like this.
That's what I do.
And that's not helpful.
You know? You know that feeling.
I know that feeling. I try not to do it, but it's easy to react.
Oh, for sure. Because that's fearful. What happens? What if? And I think what we're called to do is to be that anchor and anchored in truth. You know, like, I understand you feel this way, but what do we know is truth? This is how. And, you know, also to kind of open up the dialogue of, well, what does it mean to be a girl or a boy? It does not mean you have to like pretty princesses in pink. And, you know, we can expand our definition of masculinity and femininity, and that looks different. And, you know, kind of open the dialogue through that. But I think as parents, just to be based in or rooted in, and that's so many of your conversations, you know, just this phrase that comes up with little kids of, you know, how is that baby going to be born? Well, you know, there's a special place that mommies have, and it's called a uterus. And only mommies have that special part. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. You know, how come daddies can't be pregnant? And so I think these are little conversations that are help establishing that truth.
Yeah,
exactly. And also to really affirm that there are two genders, pull in the biology. You know, there are these chromosomes, and it is one of the first things you can know. You can know the gender before the baby's born. You can know that because it's in their DNA.
Mm.
And your DNA is in every cell of your body. That can never be changed. So just to put it in their mind that feelings are things that change, but the biology is unchangeable. So even in the scientific wonderings of children, and also just reading great stories of strong girls, girls that aren't girly girls, you know, Anne of Green Gables. She was always competing with the boys and just let them know of the great artists who were men. We have so given kind of a comic book look of what is a girl and what is a boy.
Mm. So let me ask this, like, is it every day? Once you start this conversation?
For parents to have these conversations?
With your kids, if they bring up a question and they start at age, what age? Could be any age?
I would say I'm kind of in the thick of it. Personally, my kids are 6, 9, and 11. And I would say it's, I mean, you're not talking about sex every day.
Yeah.
I think parents need to understand that we're talking about the big umbrella of birds and bees. But, I mean, I have a daughter and two boys, and I feel like we're setting body boundaries a lot. Mm-hmm. We don't touch somebody else's private part.
Yeah, let's talk about
that. These are lines that we're drawing all the time. So, yeah, I feel like I'm talking about it a lot.
Well, what is this in your purse, Mommy? And so that's an opportunity to explain periods. Yeah. It's just there's something happened, privacy and boundaries and vocabulary. And then there are children who never ask a question.
Yes.
And parents think they're off the hook. Like, I'm so lucky I got one that's not asking. But you're not off the hook. You need to then bring the topic up. And one way we like to give parents is to say, sweetheart, have you ever wondered exactly how that baby got out of there? Maybe you take a meal to a friend who had a baby and they know that they were pregnant last week and now here's this baby, but the child says nothing. And so you can introduce it. What we want to do is put this back in the parents' realm. This is what parents do. And so many times parents want to just outsource it to the church or outsource it to the school or hope they never ask. As parents, they're running away from this topic when actually you can't believe how helpful it is to walk towards them with the information, because then it's like, now they know and they heard it from me. Mm. But like Megan said, with little pieces. Don't say, now that I've told you this, I have to tell you everything. Just let it flow more naturally.
And yet, you know, I'm sitting here thinking there's some parents, and I think it's maybe a lot of parents that are just so uncomfortable, and you're so comfortable with it.
Yeah, that's right.
Is it just as you start to have these conversations and say it once or twice, you get more comfortable?
I've
been comfortable, so it isn't me, but I've been around parents. It's like they hear any sexual term and they lock up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And their kids are just sort of confused.
And that's where I think kids will follow your lead. And if that's a secret part or shameful part, if God forbid something does happen, or if there's a line that's crossed, your children do not have the language or vocabulary or comfort level to come to you as their safe person. Something that we do encourage parents in lots of ways, but one of the reasons we really encourage parents to kind of get over that fear, get over that discomfort, is for their safety. And most parents can get behind safety. If you want to protect your child, you have to empower your child to let them know, this is why we cover it up and nobody can touch this, look at it, or take pictures.
Parents just thought like, okay, can you tell us exactly what to say? Mm-hmm. Just because I have sexual abuse in my background, nobody ever shared anything. Mm-hmm. And I think parents are wondering today, like, how do I protect them from not only a predator, but from porn? There's so much.
Family member.
Family member. And that's usually where happens.
Right.
Cousins,
right.
Whatever. When do we have that conversation? What does it sound like?
Conversations.
Yes.
You know, we're talking about all the time. And I think, again, back to our little, we have a phrase we use a lot called drip, 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 which is lots of little drips in their sponge. Because ultimately that is what protects them. But you asked the question earlier of, are you talking about this every day? We're not doing that every day, okay? But what we are talking about very often is, you know, body boundaries. Friends come over to play. Guys, let's keep the doors open while we play. You know, or the neighbor kids are over. Guys, we're not playing doctor. It's not appropriate. We don't look at other people's private parts. You as a parent are speaking out into this. You're speaking up and you're saying these things out loud. Because what happens so often is parents will see something or get so uncomfortable. Hey, close the door. Get out of here. You're going home. You're never coming over here to play again.
So then there's shame.
Then there's shame.
And confusion.
There's secrecy and confusion. And then there's no more opportunities to speak into this.
Yeah, that's
good. So we
have
just slammed that door. And again, the devil loves the darkness. And so now it's gray. It's murky. People are confused, but we're not talking about it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't want to feel that again.
And I don't want to feel that again. Say, oh, I am so sorry if I had any confusion. Guys, we keep the door open while we play. And please put your pants on. We don't ever look at somebody else's private parts. we want to be frequent and frank when talking about body parts. And another aspect you brought up earlier.
Frequent and frank.
Frequent and frank.
I like it.
And that is how you should be talking about body parts, to protect them, but also to prepare them. You know, we do not want them to think these parts are just secret and bad, and then all of a sudden they're good. You know, that's very confusing.
Yes.
And so, particularly in the Christian world. And so another angle that we talk about a lot, particularly in my home with my season, is screen safety, the pornography element you mentioned earlier. And it's prevalent. I mean, it's everywhere. The average age now of first pornographic viewing is 11, which is very, very young. And so just the little conversations with young kids of, okay, mommy's going to let you watch this show for a little bit while you hop into the shower, but I have to type in the code because we got to be really careful with what we see around screens. You're just going a step ahead of them and letting them know there are some good things on here, but there are also some bad things. And so, you're kind of just talking about these things.
Would you have that conversation too to say, and if you see something that doesn't feel like it's good or appropriate?
Yes.
What would you say? Come and tell me.
We give them a plan.
And say, give them a plan. You have a plan. Stop, run, tell. There's a great resource out there called Good Pictures, Bad Pictures. And lots of conversations of saying, if you see a bad picture, you're not a bad person. There is so much shame in this conversation. You know, and letting them know, if you see something maybe scary that kind of makes your tummy feel icky, or something that makes you want to look away, or, you know, a picture of a private part. Remember, we don't look at other people's private parts. So you have to be very clear in your definition of things so they know. Because what happens so often with pornography, unfortunately, is a young child will accidentally see something.
Right.
You know, it's just as likely that they'll see something on purpose as they do by accident. So let's say a 9-year-old accidentally gets a pop-up ad or accidentally misspells something and, boof, they're looking at something. They might be turned away, but they also might be a little curious.
Sure.
Because that's the way we're wired.
Right.
Right? What did I just see? Well, I don't know anything about this. Nobody's told me ever that this could pop up on this little screen. But I shouldn't. You innately know you should not see that. Or I shouldn't tell my mom about that. So I'm just going to hide that. But maybe look at it again tomorrow. And that is where you just get in this dark cycle of secret and shame. What we're trying to do is just bring light to a dark topic. And by having these little conversations, that is essentially what we're doing, is throwing a life raft to our young kids. Say, if you see something, come and tell me.
Would you ever, because some kids won't come and tell, so will you ever approach the child like, hey, have you seen anything? Or would you say that or ask that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Part of that also is like something that you can practice. Let's say you see a bad picture. Turn the iPad over.
Because if you've told them this.
Yes. Okay. Turn the iPad over. Shut it down. Because if you try to find the exit part of that screen, you know, the little X, they hide that.
You could go to more.
And you go to more and more and more. The average viewing of a first-time viewing is just under 30 minutes. That's a lot.
30 minutes?
They can't get out of it. And so it's it keeps, you know, reeling other things. So
to shut the screen. Don't try. Enemy.
Yes, the strategy. So don't try to get out. Just turn it over and come find me.
Or walk away.
Walk away. And then let's practice that. Let's say you're watching something and it comes up. I'm in the other room. How would you do that? You see something and you think, something's weird here. Or strange or scary or whatever word you want to use. But it doesn't seem right here. Just turn it over. Come find me. You will not be in trouble. In fact, I'll be really happy that you do that. So they're not hesitant. They've done it once before. You know, you try to get them to understand that it's almost like when you were little and we had Clorox under the sink. You know, we tried to lock it out. We didn't want you to swallow it because that would eat away at your inside. If you had swallowed the Clorox and you didn't tell me about it and I could have called poison control, you know, we could have saved a lot of trouble. This is the same. Like, it can get inside of you and sort of eat away at things. And so I want you to know that we need our computer. We needed the Clorox, but it's not something that should be taken inside of you. So
that's good.
We need to be cautious with it.
So let's have those conversations with our kids. And pray. If you haven't prayed about it, pray that God will give you wisdom.
Absolutely.
And direction.
Pray for sure.
Yeah.
This is Dave Wilson, and you're listening to Family Life Today. Before we're done today, let me say this. We meet a ton of couples who say family life has helped us when we needed it the most. And that's what being a family life partner is all about, partnering with us to help others find the same encouragement that you found here.
So when you support us monthly as a partner, you'll get a Weekend to Remember gift card, insider access, and you become part of a growing community that's investing in families for eternity. And we would love for you to join us. Click the donate button at familylifetoday.com and become a partner today.
Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.